following sermon was delivered on Saturday, February 13th, 2016.
This week's Sidra is Parashat Truma. To set the narrative, Moses is still on top of Mount Sinai after receiving the Ten Commandments. And now God informs him that each Israelite should bring a teruma, a voluntary gift for building a tabernacle. A portable sanctuary the Israelites will carry with them throughout their wanderings in the desert. If you would, take out the handout you received when you entered and look at the first of the study text under where it says Parashat Truma, the verses from Exodus chapter 25, verses 1 through 9, and follow along with me as I read them. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Tell the Israelite people to bring me gifts. You shall accept gifts for me from every person whose heart so moves him. And these are the gifts that you shall accept from them: gold, silver, and copper, blue, purple, and crimson yarns, fine linen, goat's hair, tanned ram skins, dolphin skins, and acacia wood. Oil for lighting, spices for the anointing oil and for the aromatic incense, lapis lazuli and other stones for setting, for the ephod and for the breastpiece, and let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them, exactly as I show you the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all its furnishings, so shall you make it." God presents something of a registry, a list of items, some costly and others less so, from which the Israelites can choose according to their financial means. The design of the tabernacle will now be presented in every detail. We'll read about the tabernacle's sacred furnishings, altars for offering animal sacrifices, for that is how the Israelites worshiped, the beautiful golden menorah that will light this sanctuary, and most significantly, we'll read about the ark into which the Israelites will place the tablets containing the Ten Commandments. "Let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them," God says to Moses. But why, the rabbis asked, did God require a house? And how could God, who exists everywhere, be contained in one place? The rabbis respond that the tabernacle was not as much for God as it was for the people. They needed it. But why? We can answer by considering the story of the Israelites. And so I would ask you, where are the Israelites coming from? What have been their immediate experiences up to this moment? They were slaves in Egypt. What happened after they left Egypt? What was the first experience they encountered? The Red Sea, the waters dividing miraculously. They arrived at Mount Sinai. At the sea, with the waters parting, they certainly felt God's awesome presence. At Sinai, amidst the smoke and the thunder and the lightning that accompanied the giving of the Ten Commandments, they felt God's presence there. But soon they would be leaving the mountain and heading off into the wilderness. And they would need, on their journey, a tangible symbol of God's presence in their midst. According to the Torah, God commanded the Israelites to build the tabernacle. But according to the rabbis who wrote about the Torah, the idea came from the Israelites themselves. A sign of God's presence, but more than that, they needed it as a sign of God's forgiveness for a particular sin. A clue to what that sin was is present in the very first gift that God tells Moses the Israelites ought to bring. What's the very first gift? Gold. So what was the sin? the golden calf. Take a look at the second text I've given you from Lewis Ginsburg's extraordinary compendium of rabbinic legends titled Legends of the Jews. When on that memorable day of atonement, God indicated his forgiveness to Israel with the words, "I have forgiven them according as I have spoken," Moses said, "I now feel convinced that thou hast forgiven Israel, but I wish thou wouldst show the nations also that thou art reconciled with Israel." For these were saying, "How can a nation that heard God's word on Sinai, 'Thou shalt have no other gods before me,' and that 40 days later called out to the calf, 'This is thy God, O Israel,' expect that God would ever be reconciled to them?" God therefore said to Moses, "As truly as thou livest, I will let my Shekhinah, my presence, dwell among them, so that all may know that I have forgiven Israel. My sanctuary in their midst will be a testimony of my forgiveness of their sins, and hence it may be well called a tabernacle of testimony." The tabernacle was to be a symbol of Israel's atonement and God's forgiveness for that sin of idolatry. The same substance, gold, with which the Israelites had sinned by creating the calf, they would now use to build a temple for their God. The same substance with which they had sinned could also be the means of their atonement and redemption. But the tabernacle was more than a symbol of atonement. It was an alternative solution to the problem that had led Israel to sin in the first place. So I ask you, why did they build the calf? What need were they answering? Yes, that's precisely it. They needed some tangible presence of God. Why? Where had Moses gone? He was up on the mountain. Moses had been the only symbol of God's presence in their midst, and they needed a visible symbol. And so they built the calf. The sin of the calf indicated the challenge the Israelites had in grasping the notion of an abstract God. So, I ask you, how might the tabernacle also answer that need? Beg your pardon? Proof that God exists. How is it a proof that God exists? Because God resides inside the tabernacle. So God might still be abstract, but God's house would not be. As long as God's house were present, the Israelites would feel that God would be present too. They weren't building an idol. That was forbidden. But they could build the house that God might dwell in. So take a look at the third and final text I gave you. The erection of a sanctuary among Israel was begun in answer to a direct appeal from the people, who said to God, "O Lord of the world, the kings of the nations have palaces in which are set a table, candlesticks, and other royal insignia, that their king may be recognized as such. Shalt not thou, too, our King, Redeemer, and Helper, employ royal insignia, that all the dwellers of the earth might recognize that thou art their King?" God replied, "My children, the kings of flesh and blood need all these things, but I do not, for I need neither food nor drink, nor is light necessary to me, as can well be seen by this, that my servants, the sun and the moon, illuminate all the world with the light they receive from me. Hence ye need do none of these things for me, for without these signs of honor will I let all good things fall to your lot in recognition of the merits of your fathers." But Israel answered, "O Lord of the world, we do not want to depend on our fathers. Doubtless thou art our father, though Abraham be ignorant of us and Israel acknowledge us not. God hereupon said, if you now insist upon carrying out your wish, do so, but do it in the way I command you. God then gave them detailed instruction for furnishing the tabernacle, saying to Moses, tell Israel that I order them to build me a tabernacle, not because I lack a dwelling. For even before the world had been created, I had erected my temple in the heavens. But only as a token of my affection for you will I leave my heavenly temple and dwell among you. They shall make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. We may be more comfortable with an abstract notion of God than the Israelites were. After all, their neighbors worshipped idols. That's what the Israelites knew. But even so, I would believe many of us struggle to find God's presence in our lives. Perhaps a sanctuary, and what we share in this sanctuary can help us feel it. So the rabbis say that the sanctuary really fulfills our human need. So what then are God's needs? Well, our portion answers that too. The Torah does not say, let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell within it. It says, let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell within them. The rabbis taught that it is not the sanctuary building in which God seeks to live. Rather, God seeks to live inside each one of us. Each of us, we are taught, should build for God a sanctuary in his or her own heart, for that truly is where God seeks to dwell.